None. Sorry.
Okay, this evening is my turn to teach. And it's September the 5th, 2019. And it's my dad's birthday today, which he's been gone a long time, but I would recognize that he is a very hard working man. And when we were around, he was working. But when he was home, sometimes during the day, he'd always pick us up and we would go drive out to the railroad yard and he'd pick up his paycheck. And that was a lot of fun because we didn't see him a lot during the day, but you know, he worked at night. So there was times during the day where he was home. So those were the special times, is having him go and pick up his paycheck. And then he would take us to Foster Freeze, and he would get us these huge ice creams because he loves ice cream. And he'd say, okay, what we're gonna do is if you can eat all your ice cream before we get to the next Foster Freeze, I'm gonna get you another one. So we would be eating like crazy and banging our heads so we could get that second one. Anyway, good times.
Did you ever do it?
Oh yeah, we would get it two at a time. It was, we had a really good, really good time.
Double fisted?
Oh yeah. I've already told the woes of my teaching at Sonship, especially the events of the year. It seems like it's like pulling teeth to get a lesson out. But that's okay. The thing is the Lord uses all of us.
Yes, he does.
Not just the really spiritual kinds, not just the prophets or the pastor. He needs all of us because we all have much baggage to bring. Mm-hmm. And anytime I get a glimmer from the Lord, I grab onto it and hold onto it with both hands. And the word I got this trip around was, I was walking in my bathroom and the word came to me and said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's good because sometimes you don't feel like you're the most spiritual person in the world and you don't feel like you're really making a big difference with the world. And, you know, sowing and, you know, winning souls and doing the music and letting the Lord flow through you. And sometimes if it's not that way, you just have to go with what you got, because, you know, that's what the Lord has, is he's going to use whoever he has, you know, to get his purpose around to the world. But the text of what I'm going to use is Psalm 107. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 107, that'd be great. When I was studying Psalm 107, I was looking, I would say, oh my goodness, this is the longest psalm. But when you read the whole thing, you go, it is complete. It has something for everybody, let's say. I'm going to start with verse 1. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start with verse 23. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Watch line 3.
It's Psalm 107. I'm not sure what I told you, but it's Psalm 107.
verse 43.
The 43 is, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So even though the people are wandering in the wilderness, or they're stuck in the valley, or they're in the shadow of death, or they're sitting in darkness, we all need to know that we need to understand his loving kindness, because that's key. And if we can do nothing else but do that, at least we're maintaining ourselves the way we should be doing in our life. Let's take a look before we read it to see what our behaviors are in Psalm 107. We'll just say it's they. They wandered in the wilderness. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted. They cried. They sat in darkness, in the shadow of death. They rebelled against his word. Contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's sin and disobedience. They fell down. They cried. Transgression and iniquity. They were fools. Afflicted. Abhorreth all manner of meat, which is kind of like the Word of God, anything that's going to feed your body. And they drew near to the gates of death, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's our behaviors in this psalm. They cried unto the Lord in their troubles. But you know what? Sometimes we're in our troubles and we don't cry. Which if we don't cry unto the Lord, how is he going to help us? Which he will. You know, he's merciful. You know, he is going to help us. But what do we do to those folks who sit in darkness or sit in the shadow of death? I mean, that's no picnic either, but we've got to address these issues because that's a form of rebellion. If you're sitting in your darkness, you're sitting in the shadow of death, and you're comfortable there, and you're not going to do anything else, and you're not going to intake the word and let it work through you, then, you know, that's a form of rebellion. But sometimes you just have to keep on going because the Lord will deliver you, but you do have to cry unto the Lord. I'm going to start with verse 1 on 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Forever is good, because we know even if things look crappy or not very nice, then we know that his mercy does endure. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The thing is we all need to get to the point in where we feel redeemed so that we can say so. And that's true. And you think about at the meetings and stuff, you kind of roll your eyes. Is there anybody have a prayer? Anybody have anything they want to thank God for? And you go, what is it? Well, you see, that's our opportunity to let the Lord, you know, get in action in our lives, to just declare what he has done for us, even if it's the smallest thing. Just the smallest thing will do us some good as long as we... you know, if we give thanks to the Lord. Even silly things. I mean, it won't even be anything big. I was substitute teaching at Conley Elementary, and a kid came up and looked at what I was working on, and he says, hey, that's my birthday. I said, hey, that was no coincidence, was it? Anyway, it was just a date that I had written. But the Lord knits and weaves things together so that we know that he is in our lives. Verse 3, and gathered them out of the land, from the lands, and he gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. So the Lord, he redeems us from the hand of the enemy, and he gathers us from all parts of the world, brings us together. They that wander in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. So I think the Lord targets those folks who are all by themselves, who wander, that are separated, and somehow he tries to put it in their path, groups, so that they could be built up and fed in faith, to encourage us and let us know that the Lord is merciful even through all these things that we've got going on. Let's see, I'm coming up to a year where my son has died. And I thought, how am I going to get through his first birthday that he's not here? How am I going to get through my birthday and what he gave me for the last birthday that I had with him? And one of the things that kind of helped was the hurricane that came through last year, because that was a big diversion. My son died, and bam, here comes a hurricane. So, oh, thank God, got my mind off of my issues. But I can thank God that through the whole process, I've had all this time to look back and say, okay, what has the Lord done for me? How have I grown through this situation? And I've known for years, we went through the addiction issues since he was 15 years old. He died when he was 29 years old. And when he was just about to turn 18 years old, it was like, God, I don't know if I can handle this. You know, day to day, it's like, Lord, do what you gotta do. Take them if you gotta take them. But just be merciful and have your way. And, you know, we had to do the things where we had to take care of their kids. We had to take care of the mother. We had to go visit my son. And the whole while was, we're going to trust in the Lord. And we are going to make sure that whatever happens, he would be glorified in this situation. And it just about killed us. But learning of his death didn't really kill us. It was almost like a relief, because then we didn't have the wondering what's going to happen. Is he going to be homeless? Is he going to have a place to stay when it's cold? Is he going to wander in the street? Is he going to get beat up? Is he going to get thrown in jail? All those things, those concerns that we had for years and years and years, left. And so I'm ashamed to say that even though that those trials and tribulations are gone, and we have those things dealt with that we did, it's still, right now you're in such a state of shock, you don't feel like doing anything but trying to get by. Right now I should have all the time in the world to clean my house, get organized, have people over, have fellowships, all these kinds of things. But to be honest with you, I mean, it's like pulling teeth. Mary calls, not lately, but Mary would call and have me come out and do things, or she would come over, and I was like, okay, I know this is good for me. And Beth does the same thing, and I hate to say it for Beth, and it's not a chore, it's good. It's something that they have to do because it's part of their ministry to me. And y'all coming to dinner tomorrow. But it's not a chore. Don't forget what you gotta bring.
What are you making?
I'm making fish tacos. Cilantro. But anyway, that's your ministry to me, is to just be patient. You know, sometimes after church I go and I don't feel like talking to anybody. At least I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. I used to go so I can smoke a cigarette. me and Kelly used to talk about how our quitting times were coming, but I mean, that's bad. Here you're a Christian and you're smoking cigarettes, but that happens. I didn't smoke cigarettes all coming up, but when the kids started driving me crazy, that was my medication, I guess you'd say. But I'm better. And the thing that Pastor used to tell me about, she said, look, the Lord told her that you really can't live your kid's life. They are on their own, and you got to treat it like a helium balloon and let it go. And you just have to trust the Lord that what he's going to do, he's going to do it for your good and for your benefit. And so that's why I keep holding on to, is that the Lord is going to, you know, make things better. And, you know, even if you had the time and you had the money, sometimes you don't have the energy to do anything. And you go, what am I, depressed? And you go, okay, well, that's why we also have to give thanks. We need to make sure that we are getting out of the depression phase and into what God wants us to do, to shake it off. So we need to give thanks. We need to make a proclamation that I've been redeemed. We need to praise the Lord for his goodness.
Yes.
The sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. These are all our actions that we need to do, as well as cry unto the Lord. If we're not crying unto the Lord, well, on one hand, it's like you don't really recognize your need for the Lord. Actually, you're dead is what you are, because you don't feel like you need the Lord. You don't feel alive, and you're just sitting in the valley of the shadow of death with all the chains and rods on top of you. And that happens, but our job is to look past it and say, okay, I'm going to get through this hump. And as far as families go that have lost their kids in this way, it's terrible. I mean, I was sitting breakfast with somebody, and everybody at the table had a connection to somebody who lost a nice young man. And I don't know. It is an epidemic whether people want to realize it or not. You have the kid in the porta potty, you have the paramedic who was trying to see how long he could hold his breath underwater. You had my son, there was another family from E3, another one from E3. I mean, it's terrible, and I know the Lord wants me to get through it and to let other people know that you have to get through it. You got to trust God and have faith that he has everything under control. And not live in the stigma. Oh, I have a child that I lost. Or I had to deal with abuse issues. The thing is you got to suck things up and you got to keep on going forward and let people know, if they're in that predicament, to know there is hope. And you won't go wrong if you say, okay, the Lord's faithful, all things will work together for good, and keep on moving, even though we don't know why they happen. I mean, my son was beautiful. He was a beautiful kid. He had a very good attitude, a good heart, but his drugs just took him under. And if I had to do it again, you know, you always think, oh, I would have done things a little bit differently. But we can't live in the past, but we got to take action where we're at now and let people know. You got to do something drastic to make sure that, you know, it doesn't take you under. Now, that's one thing we had an attorney tell us early on, is stop the flow of money, whatever it is. I mean, anything. I need a couple dollars for gas. No, you don't need a couple dollars for your gas. You go over to the gas station and put gas in if you have to. But that's it, you know. But those are lessons learned. And they're really not appropriate for right now. I'm probably nervous and just rambling, but that's the way it goes. I'm going to start back here. This is the people that they gathered. In verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in solitary places. They found no city to dwell in. Thirsty, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Yes, I need the Lord to lead me to a city of habitation sometimes. Sometimes I do feel alone. Sometimes if I don't have my sisters around me or my brothers, I would be alone, besides Beth and Mary and whoever else calls me. The psalmist says in this verse here, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." He said it four times, I believe, in this psalm. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." Even though things are horrible, we should see fit to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. See, even if we can't find anything to praise the Lord about, we can always say somebody else's to the children of men. I'm excited for Natalie. I'm excited about y'all's housing situations. I'm excited. My daughter just bought a townhouse. So those are all good things that we can be thankful for, even when things aren't going our way. We just praise God for what, you know, is happening to everybody else.
She just got her master's too, right?
She just got her master's in counseling, ministerial counseling. "Such as sit in darkness," oh, here I go, 9, "for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Sometimes I don't even feel like I'm longing or I'm hungry. The Lord needs to pour his life into me, or I need to do some more crying out to the Lord so I can become a little bit more alive. Because I need to be filled and have goodness in me. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." It's kind of like, you know, you're the person says, "Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?" That's kind of like being afflicted by myself.
What scripture is that again?
We're in Psalm 108. Right.
7, 10.
Oh, 107, verse 10. "Because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and contemned the counsel of the Most High." Contempt is one of those words we really don't use much, but it means sin or disobedience. And I didn't really get a real good definition of it.
Despised.
Yes, despising the truth is what I'm thinking from what I was looking at. Verse 12, "Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help." Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. You know what? If the Lord wants to get your attention, he's going to give you a job to do. He's going to make you put some energy into it. He's going to make you work. He's going to make you sweat. Number one, it's going to get your mind off your troubles. Number two, it's going to exercise you so you have a newer perspective on life and what you're doing. Verse 13, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." We need to cry unto the Lord when we know we're in this place so he can save us. "He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. And here comes this famous phrase right here, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to get those gates open, those things that are blocking or closing our gates. We need to let the Lord break those through so that we can be open to flow with the Lord in his presence. And we can't be imprisoned, cut the bars of iron and sunder. You know those disciples that were in the prison and they shook the prison and the gates opened?
Paul and Silas.
Yes, Paul and Silas. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that was an actual thing that happened. And in this, it's almost like within our hearts, we are closed up and in prison right now inside our hearts. And
they've been praising and worshiping God in the prison.
There you go. They were worshiping and praising the Lord in the prison, and when they worshiped the Lord, that's when the earth shook and it set them free. So we need to take a lesson of that we need to praise and worship the Lord more now so that we can get set free from our bars of iron. And the thing is a lot of what goes on with us is because of our transgression and our iniquities. If we didn't transgress and we didn't do iniquities, we wouldn't be afflicted 9 times out of 10, or definitely wouldn't be as bad. And 17 said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So why in the world do we keep hitting ourselves? I mean, we should do things to not transgress and not promote iniquity within our lives. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. We should not be getting to the point where we're so desperate or despaired that we cry out to the Lord. There's a way to get past it so that we don't have to wait till it gets to that point so that we can, you know, get some sweet relief. He sent his word and healed them. You know, I would just love it for the Lord to just send his word and heal me, or heal all of us, because we all have those places in us that need to be healed. A lot of times we don't even know how we need to be healed. All we know is that we're the way we are, and we need something done. But anyway, we should pray that the Lord send his word and healed us and deliver us from our destruction. Here goes again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The other thing we need to do is to sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and to declare his works with rejoicing. So it's not that we're supposed to be sitting there with nothing to do and having a pity party. We need to give thanks. We need to proclaim that we are redeemed and the Lord's working in our lives. We need to praise the Lord for his goodness for us and for, you know, our fellow people. And to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Even if you don't feel like being thankful, you need to be thankful. Parents, you should all, every night before you go to bed, ask your kids, what do you thank God for today? Or at the dinner table, what do you thank God for today? And we should ask ourselves, what do I thank God for today? Mm-hmm. Well, I slept good. I slept all night. have good food to eat, have a very nice house, have nice animals, have my family around. I work when I want to work. I stay home and cut the grass when I want to do that. I cook, clean, and trying to get some purpose going in my life. Sometimes you look at I've always talked about the boxes in my life. I've got boxes at home. I'm going to save this for when I grow up and have my house. I got my house. I've been in my house for almost 25 years, and I look up there, and all those precious things I can't depart with is in a box. It's like, you know, I feel like just taking the box and putting it in the garbage. It's like, what? Why am I holding on to that stuff? I wish that what I could do is to cull through everybody's the stuff in my house so that I can think. I write notes in church all the time. Or write notes. And then when things get slow, I illustrate. So while y'all are teaching, I will draw while you're teaching. And but I have stacks and stacks of notebooks. I'm thinking, I might want to refer back to it one day. But there's a stack this big. So I'm thinking, okay. I took one notebook and I thought, well, this person is a beginning teacher. Threw that away. Said, okay, I'm going to keep the senior ministries. And then as the people that were coming up, beginners, get better, I keep them. And then I said, oh, this was an off night. Throw it away. But
So whose have you thrown out? Just curious. I mean, don't answer that.
It won you. Nobody's here. Sorry. Everybody that's here, I kept it.
Good answer.
It was all of y'all. But just the idea of going upstairs into my wherever I'm storing this stuff and culling through it is exhausting to me. It's like there's a way to get set free from that, and I haven't done it yet. And that's how your world gets cluttered, when you hang on to this stuff. Or, you know, my mother-in-law, when she died, we all got together and everybody looked at the table of all these things that she's collected all this year that she said, they all said, well, I don't want to take it to Goodwill. And I'm thinking, how can you just go in a box and take her stuff to Goodwill? So I put it in a box and I take it with me and stick it up in the closet. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do with a brand new Sony Walkman that still works? But I don't do anything with it. So it's time for me to let loose of all that stuff and get rid of it. Or, oh, this was a precious picture that was hung up in my grandma's house. Why in the world do you have to keep it? And anyway, it's time to clear out a lot of junk that I have in my house. But you know, we got behaviors that we do, like wandering in the wilderness and falling down and not getting up, or sitting down in the valley of the shadow. But what we need to get out of these behaviors here, pouring meat, drawing near to the gates of death, and we need to get to the point where we give thanks, where we proclaim and we are redeemed. But praise the Lord for his goodness, to make sacrifices of thanksgiving. So it's a sacrifice. It's not going to be easy to be thankful, but we've got to do that.
Amen.
And to declare his works with rejoicing. You know, any little thing we should be rejoicing. The double rainbow we had out here, we should be rejoicing about that. Right now I can't think about what to rejoice.
We got missed by a hurricane.
We did. We prayed against the hurricane and it didn't come this way, which I think is wonderful. But you know what? If the Lord wanted it to come this way, he could have let it come this way. The Bible says he makes the wilderness into a stream, and he makes the rivers, the streams, into the wilderness, He does the dry land into water. And it's almost like you're stuck looking and say, whatever he wants to do, he's going to do.
Amen.
He's not going to, I mean, he might do one thing or the other. And the whole idea is to trust and have faith that, you know, he's going to be doing what he wants to do, what his will is. And to know that, you know, he works everything together for good. Mm-hmm. And if I can just find out where I'm at on the words. Anybody know what?
23?
There we go, 23. They that go down to the sea. Now here we go. They talked about these folks that are sitting in the valley of the shadow of death, and they're supposed to be rejoicing and proclaiming his good works and praising the Lord. But this right here, they go down to the sea in the ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. It's almost like these people, the people that are in, are stuck and trying to get out. They go to where the action is. They're gone to get some inspiration from these folks. Because, you know, the people that worked in the sea, they don't know if they're going to have fish. They don't know if they're going to have lightning and thunder and storms, or whether it's going to be so hot, or, you know. It's like they're at the mercy of the Lord. And to go down to the sea, to do, they're doing their business in the great waters. These see the works of the Lord and the wonders and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunk man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So it kind of shows the regular, normal person going through this. And then the people that work in the sea, how that they're all dependent upon the Lord. And it's up to the Lord if there's going to be waves, if there's going to be the tide up or the tide down, or when the moon's doing this, that, and the other. And they got no control of it. It's all something they need to trust the Lord with. He maketh the storm a calm. He calms the storm, or he moves it out of the way, one of the two, so that the waves thereof are still. I wish the Lord would bring waves to Mexico Beach. You know, because when I grew up in California where they had good waves. I mean, it would go all the way this way, and you would take a ride. It was almost like your own personal amusement park.
About this time last year, there was about 20-foot waves.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to go there then. But anyway, the Lord has control of those things. I might make a separate trip to California there, Dr. Teller's, just so I can visit the college and go ride some waves. Oh, anyway, I will do that sometime. Are they glad because they be quiet? So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So you see, they cried unto the Lord. He calmed the storm. They made him glad, and they were quiet in their heart. Because, you know, he brought them in a place of peace. Here we go. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. You know, the dead praise not. In those who go into silence don't praise the Lord either. So this should light a fire under us to, yes, we need to praise the Lord. We need to worship the Lord in the assembly. He turneth the rivers into wilderness. This is what I just told you, but I'm going to read it. And the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water, dry ground into water springs. He maketh the hungry to to dwell, he maketh the hungry to dwell, and they that prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant the vineyards, that he may yield the fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly. And talk about Natalie. Multiplying greatly. And suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished, that means to make small, and brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. He setteth, yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. You know, when we're going through stuff like this, it seems like the Lord pulls people together. And that's probably why I go to E3 also. And I go to E3 just to bring the family together. And I don't really have anything in common with the people at E3, except for when we do get together in fellowship, it's almost like, well, I know it's a good mix of people. So I feel like the Lord provided that mix of people for me to mix with. And, you know, I don't put on airs and squawk like a peacock and things like that there. It's like when I go past there and they have the door greeters, a lot of times they go, oh, here she comes. Because I hate door greeters. And, hey, nice to see you there. You know, I've been going there 10 years. It's so nice. I'm glad you visited us. I'm thinking. So anyway, from the get-go, it's like, I just kept everybody at arm's distance, you know. Have you been seeing us long? It's like, yes, every week for 10 years. I know everybody's had that. They don't recognize you and say, thanks for coming. See us again. Did you get? And then I say, well, you know, I haven't gotten a visitor package in a while. So I'm kind of short on coffee mugs.
I am.
So I'll get a coffee mug. I'll come back next week and get another coffee mug. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Yes, we need some iniquity stop too. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, when you look at it, God can do anything he wants to do. You know, he can have your kid grow up and have good friends, spend time with the family, go to college, get a super good job, get a move out, have a nice home. Or you can have it where you're struggling with everything. Oh, you got to stay in school. Oh, you can't cut class. Oh, you can't do this. What are you doing with all this money? All this kind of thing. You need to go where for what? You need $500 for what? All these little things doesn't mean a hill of beans, as long as you go, well, if we understand that the Lord has our purposes in mind, and that we should be seeking him with our whole heart. And if we remember what God's action was, he redeemeth from the hand of the enemy, he gathereth us, he delivers us, he leads us to the city of habitation, he satisfies our longing soul, fills a hungry with goodness, breaks the gates of brass and cuts the bars of iron asunder. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destruction. Then he turns us into places where we go, and we see the example of people living by faith, and that should feed us. Well, we don't know if the fishermen are going to catch fish today or if they're going to eat their bait today, but they trust God either way. And we know that that should teach us that we should just put one foot in front of the other and bless God. And it's God's prerogative to make the wilderness into water or make the dry ground into springs. And, you know, God puts us to work and then he blesses us.
Very good.
And I believe that's all I have to say about that for Psalm 107. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
We're going to do Psalm 119 now.
Yeah, let's do 119.
How many were blessed by that? You know, she opened her heart.